in Amud Yud Aleph, and he says, he was speaking about the Nakuda that he's understanding Yavan is through the Cholim of Daniel, through the whole parsha of Daniel, that there are four Malchias. Yavan is one of four Malchias. There's Bavel, Paras, Yavan, and Edom, or Romi. And those four Malchias are the possibilities of going away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, possibilities of Ra. And each of these, the characteristics of these Malchias can be described in different ways. Can be described in Mishalem of Chayas, which you have Nomer, Nesha, and so on. They can be described in terms of Tchunis HaNefesh. They can be described in terms of Adam. And basically, that's the Mahalach that he's using to understand the different Nekudas. We're holding in Yud Aleph two or three lines from the bottom, where he adds a certain knach to what he was saying before. He said that the Nebuchadnezzar saw the tzura of the Malchias as tzuras Adam, and he explained that it's different than the Nil that saw it as different balechayim. Now he adds another knach. V'leiro Nebuchadnezzar es atzelem v'loi guf. He's telling sich on a chiluk between the way Tzuras Adam was perceived by Nebuchadnezzar to the way it was perceived by Daniel later on. Nebuchadnezzar said he saw a Tzuras Adam that had a head of gold, hands and feet of silver, a body of metal, and feet, some metal, some clay. Daniel, it says later, v'osu, he brings down a pasuk in Daniel Zion on the next page, v'oru im ani shmaya ki ba'enish asa, he came down with clouds from Shemayim, like a tzuras Adam. He's speaking about Melech HaMashiach over there, he's speaking about Klal Yisrael, and he says that the Melech HaMashiach comes down looking like Adam. So he explains a chiluk in the difference in those two pieces. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't see the tzelem without a guf. He saw the tzelem fixed in zov, kesev, nechayshos, and bazel. Ki umas yeshtam tzelem shu mutva begashmi dvarim hi v'chol ka'elu zacha. Now let's explain this a second, because it alludes. This really deals with a broader inyan in these inyanim. Everything, I mean, all the kadmonim, all the sfarim, especially the Rambam, but it's not miyuchad. All the kadmonim divide up the teva as consisting of chayim and tzura, which is form and shape. On the simplest level, I need a table. So a table consists of two things. It consists of the material, it consists of wood, and it consists of a certain shape. It's flat, it's long, it's supported, it's a certain height. So everything that we have exists in two dimensions: what it's made of and the tzura. Bricks itself is not a building. It's when bricks are set up in a way that they cover the top and they protect from the sides and they stand and they're stable, that's a building. On the other hand, a piece of paper that's cut to look like a building, it's a building in shape, but it doesn't have the chaymet. It needs to be made of something thick, something strong, something that insulates, and so on. So chaymet and surah are two characteristics of everything, and they always come together to us. There is nothing that exists in the world that's one without the other. Only in imagination can you imagine a surah which doesn't have chaymet. And a chaymer that doesn't have a tzura is not a pile of bricks. It's a pile of bricks. It doesn't have. It's not an object of any sort. So everything consists of chaymer and tzura. It's a muscle. You know, this basic distinction is a muscle for ruchnius and gashmius. The tzura is something a little bit more elevated. And everything we spoke yesterday about different aspects of this tayv and ra, and this mar and mosok. But lamashal, I take different objects and I say this is kosher, this is treif. So an animal itself, if there would be no animals in the world, then there's no kosher and there's no treif. Kosher and treif have to be chal on something. Chayev and mutter and usher and pasul, all of these things, pasul is a certain type of korban, a certain type of something physical. On the other hand, the quality of pasul and kasha, treif and tomei tohar, treif and kasha, are things that are really tsura. I mean, red and green is chaymer, but when you're dealing with something that is a tsura, so pasul, two pieces of meat, one is kasha, one is pasul, and one is kasha. Pasul and kasha are really not physical qualities, but they manifest themselves on physical qualities. That is the general metzias of chaymer and tsura together. They always come together. You can't have really one independent without the other. But there is a very clear distinction in perception between how to look at something that consists of chaymer and tsura. For instance, if you take a child and you show him a mosaic, so the child says, oh, a lot of pieces of colored glass, so many square reds and so many long greens and so many dotted blues. Why? Because he's not teifis the whole metzias as such. An adult sees the tzura, he sees the person standing on a mountaintop or whatever it is over there, and then he says to himself, oh, it's a mosaic showing a person, you know, it's a mosaic showing this tzura, but he's teifis the tzura first and the chaymer secondary. So in the metzias itself of things you have a tfisa, sometimes you teifis the chaymer first, sometimes you teifis the tzura first. Let's take something a little more complex. You take something that looks like a man on a mountain, so anybody who's an adult and sees a man on a mountain, that's what he perceives. Let's take somebody let's take a picture that's kind of modern art, where red dots represent anger, and I don't know, blue long lines represent calm, and whatever it is. Somebody who's not terribly schooled, or doesn't have the aesthetic sense that where a long blue line, a wave-like blue line hits him with calm, and red dots hit him with anger, so he'll look at it and he'll say, what's this? So the guy will say, well, the red dots represent anger, and the blue lines represent calm, and the green represents this and that and the other thing. So okay, you know, in Kabbalah, in the Kablam, and if all the artists say that that's true, then I guess it's true, and I can repeat it. Next time I see a similar picture, I'll say, okay, let's figure out what this picture means. The blue dots mean this, the red lines mean this, and so on and so forth. Somebody who's got the aesthetic sense where the color and the shape kind of radiate something, he takes one look at it and he says, oh, so much anger and fury in this picture, but behind it all is calm. Because he kind of has that sense where the tzura comes first, and the guy says, where'd you get that from? He says, well, you see, red and that like kind of is impulsive and angry. And he divines the elements of the picture from the picture itself. So you have a metzias with the same thing. For one person, it's chayma first, and the chayma happened to be used to build tzura. For the second person, it's tzura that he has to find the chayma behind it. Let's go to mitzvahs and so on. A person understands mitzvahs, let's say somebody who's becoming a baal tshuva, or a child who's not a very, doesn't have a mature sense of things. So we tell him kaz is treif and cow is kasha. Why is this treif, why this kasha? Well, this is good for you, this is not good for you. What do you mean? Well, you know that sometimes there's certain food that you eat that gives you a stomachache, and certain food doesn't give you a stomachache, it makes you feel good? Yeah. So in Olam Haba, chaza will give you a stomachache, and this thing will make you feel good. So that's one tfisa in it. There's another tfisa where a person is taifis the inyan of tamei and tar, which is not easy to be taifis, which is them is a tfisa that's beyond us, but a person has some sense for it, he has some tfisa of tamei and tar, and he understands that in this world Tomei is the tzura that Tomei took on is the tzura of Balachayim Tmeim of a davacha, and the tzura of Torah takes on the tzura of an animal tahira. but his main tefisa is Tamei Tor, and then it becomes, and he understands that it manifests itself in certain ways. That is the tzura of, that is the way in two different tefisas in the relationship between tzura and that. So the Maral says, Nebuchadnezzar Rasha, what he saw was he saw a human being, but he didn't see a human being. He saw clay with silver, metal with iron, silver and gold, and together he said it looks like a person. Why? Because his tfisa was a tfisa where the chaymer is what his taif is, and you know when you put together the piece of the chaymer, you get the tzura. The tfisa of Daniel when he saw Tzuras Adam, you don't see the material. A good painting or someone who has an extraordinary sense of aesthetics sees the tzura and finds it hard to look at the chaymer. He's so caught up with the tzura. So the Maral adds this kanech. For loyron Nebuchadnezzar tzatzelim b'loy guf. Nebuchadnezzar didn't see a tzelim without a guf. Rak ros tzelim oimed bezov ubekesel chayshu bazel. He saw a tzuras adam in the gold and silver and cap and the bazel. Ki ha'umas yeshtam tzelim shumutba begashmi dvarim hi b'chol ke'elu zaka. Not sure what those words mean actually. V'lechein ra tzelim hazeh. He saw this tzelem which had a head of gold and hands of silver. The first thing he said, it's gold that looks like a head. Because they don't have the concept of a tzelem nivdol like they have like in Klal Yisrael. And we'll go back again to the muscle we used last time about the difference in Umas Olam and Klal Yisrael. The Umas HaOlam as opposed to Klal Yisrael is not that Umas HaOlam are bad people. It's not that they don't have a sense of taif. A goyim that are misukanim, like it says, misukanim with a tuf and a kuf, do have a sense of right and wrong and good and bad and morality and not morality. But somehow it develops around the metzias. Like we said before, A person asks somebody who's a good Umas HaOlam, why should I give tzedakah? So the person says, okay, do you know what it's like to feel when you see somebody hungry? Don't you feel his pain? Don't you feel so good when you see the smile on his face? How would you like it if you were hungry? Nobody knows when there's not going to come a time that he's going to need someone else. There are a lot of mishalim. The bottom line is that it's all brought down to my world. It's a tzura built in the materials I'm familiar with. Feelings of good, of bad, of pleasantness, of not pleasantness, of hurt, of pain, and so on and so forth. The idea of stowing the tzu, Klal Yisrael, when they kitikunai, then when they do a mitzvah, they say, because this mitzvah brings you into a world of taiv versus ra. This is a mitzvah that brings a person to a metzias of Chesed, which is Toiv Be'etzim, it brings you to a world of Mishpat, which is Toiv Be'etzim, it brings you this world, that world, the other world. That is the Tefisa of Klal Yisrael. So the Tefisa of Yisrael is where once you have the Tefisa and the Tzura, then forget about the pieces. And in Umas HaOlam, it's pieces. True that the pieces together make up something, but they're still pieces. That is the he just saw the image, because once you have the image, the goof itself melts away. Like the shape of a human being, which is Melech HaMashiach, came down with the anonym. All he saw was the tzel maliki. Rak, kasheron Nebuchadnezzar rosh es ha-malchis, and the Rambam, when the Rambam speaks about it in both in his Akdama to Perek Chelek and other places, when he speaks about Lishma, he constantly talks about it that it's a dividing line. Not everybody can understand things Lishma. Not everything can understand why the idea of doing it's Razeh. It's Nasa Venishma is built around Lishma, And the Meili said the Rosh there is the Rosh that Malachi HaKodesh are mishtamish by. Malachim live in a world where the reality is Olam HaMitzvot, and that's what they're shayach to. That is the Mitzvot they're shayach to. I wanted the Chagav go off, I guess, on a side point, but since it is Chanukah, we're learning Chanukah in Yonim. One of the chilukim between Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbos is that Ner Shabbos is something that is a chiyuv to be nana from it. If you don't use, if somebody goes away and doesn't use the Shabbos Neiris, then he is, it's a bracha v'atala basically. Whereas Ner Chanukah, he's not allowed to use the Neiris. And the Hevdel is, I mean, somewhere further, much further in the Sefer, there's a basis for it. But the Hevdel is, Shabbos is within the Bria, meaning the Nekud of Ruchnius that you have within the Metzias. So Vimela, if you don't use it, then how in the world, then what's its point? And Shabbos is a day of Einig, it's the Yom Shekula Toiv, which expresses of Einig. Neiris is part of the Tainug. If a person goes, wanders in a dark place, he stumbles and he falls and it creates stress at home. And the Neiris enhance the home and they give it Sholem and Av and Achtos and so on and so forth. That means the Or gets translated into some chayma that makes sense. The Ner Chanukah is where you have to appreciate the Or for what it is. It doesn't translate itself to anything else. And that is one of those nekudas. Kach yish lefarish ki bevadai mashiro dalad machis b'tzolom adam. The reason why he saw it is ke'elo dal machis and k'moy dalad koiches shem adam. These four machis are connected these four koiches. This is summing up basically what he said, just not now, but right before. This koyach gufni, koyach nafshi, the koyach zeh afkiu gamkein hu kiguf shal adam, and imut ba koyach the gufik moshe ha koyach shal afnei zeh. The second koyach, which is nafshi, is a more refined. Hagimel hu sichli, the third one is sichli, shu nivdol legamri min haguf, kamoshe yina sechol shu nivdol, which is a third dagger. He says, it's not only four different kochos, three different koyaches, but rather they keep, they're in ascending order in terms of their relationship to the material. The koach gufni is the physical self, the hunger, pain, the physical desires, cravings, and so on. Napsi is greed, ambition, so on, which is already one step removed from mere physical perceptions. Then you have sikhli, which is still more removed. Ve'afki nira bar ki koach ha-sikhli bodem olim b'mayla. Despite the fact that Seichel is the highest koach, Mikomakom Einer Kol Kach Memshol Vakoch, but power is not within the Olam of Seichel. Or Lefikoch Kach Seidel Malchus. So he's explaining that the order of the Malchus, Bavel, Paras, Yavan, and Rome, are not Kefi the Seder of top to bottom, but it's a different Seder. Malchus, the first one is Kikoyach Hanapshi, the Fika Kachsir al Malchus, Kikoyach Hanapshi Koach Paul Yosek Ashe Yedua. Olamatim and a Koach Hagufish and Paul Kokach, the Koach Hasichli Afki Bevada Yosef Maila, Al Koach Mashosh Achis or Koach Hanapish. So he says like this, the order, there has to be some order, and this is another thing that is very, very common in the Maral's Tfisa Vinyanim. And I'll try to explain why. The Maral has two of his most basic klolim is that the different elements, when Chazal say three things are Moitzias Arim Noilam, five people learning together is a good thing, 10 people learning together, Shechin is there, Asara Nisim Nisar Saviseinu, Shiva Dvarim Begoilam, Arba Midas Atamidim, they're not just random, they happen to pick up five things. And it could have been six and a half. It's just that they only found five of them. The Maral says that the Maral is the different elements. Each one A represents a specific nekuda. That's one part of what the Maral, and we spoke about this a lot. The second thing is that it almost always has a certain order to it. The Kalal is Seichel organizes inyanim. In other words, if it says there are three things that are Mitzias Arim Olam, Akina, Taiva, Kavod, so A, there's a reason why there are three elements and only three elements. And secondly, the order is something. A person who does things in not in order, it's not Mikoyach Seichel. If a person, l'mashal, is he has to make a list of guests that he wants to invite to a chasna, to a mitzvah. So one way you can do it is just any name that comes to mind, which is kind of very, very erratic process. Or you say, let's start with a typical day. You get up in the morning. Who do you meet in the morning? You're working in this place. Who works together with you? Who are the customers that come in? When you come home, who are the people that you learn with? The person finds an overall structure to string together, and then there's a Seder. It could be chronological, which is a simple Seder. It could be conceptual. There are different ways to do it. The Seder of Chochmah is a certain Seder. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when these Dalet Malchus evolved into the world, it's not the pshat, well, luck had it that Rome decided to be strong one day, luck had it that Yavin decided to be strong one day, and somehow Paras crept in. That would mean that the world is run basically like a dartboard, that Hashkocha expresses itself, and that's probably hefech of anything that the morale held of. You know, anything that doesn't have a seder to it and a reason for different elements is not sichlius. I once saw somebody wrote, not a terribly big person, but he was writing his thoughts and on Rosh Hashanah somewhere. It was actually in Yiddish, and he wrote the five kailas of the shayfa, the five inyanim in shayfa. Besides whatever I had a feeling about the teichna of the inyanim that he had there, but it was completely at random. I could have picked 17 and I could have picked 3 in with the same ease or difficulty that did it. Didn't seem to be anything, just the five first things he thought of, and when the page got full he sent it in. Like basically that was the order of it. If a thing doesn't have a certain seder, we're saying this is a fundamental mahalach and the bria of Rab being shaylet on teif, of a mahalach of going from A to B to C to D. So the development has to be kesidra. So the Maral says the development is not from chashav to less chashav, because it doesn't fit the Malchus the way he describes them. The development is from most active, which Seichel says will come to the forefront, to the least active, which will come out last. In other words, when you have a situation, we have a group of people, and what's going to happen first depends on the most volatile and active person of the group. The power grabber goes first, because he's grabbing power. It's only when that falls apart, then the next echelon rises. And when that falls apart, the next echelon rises. And it's one of the reasons why Toiv is always last, because Toiv doesn't push itself, and it's only when Ra keeps falling apart that Toiv becomes his gala. So the state of the first malchus of Ra to be megala itself is the chelik that's keneged nefesh, which is ambition, greed, dominance, arrogance, all of those kochos ha-nefesh, politicians, the koyach ha-nefesh that wants, that is just pushing and is kulay active and dominant, that's the power that's going to come. So Bavel is the first malchus. When Klal Yisrael became, when the malchus left Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael itself left the tzura of Yisrael, then Ra began to rise. The first Ra that will rise is Bavel, because Bavel is arrogance, shulton. They wanted Malchus, shulton, and haughtiness. That came to the first, to the forefront, and it's connected. L'mos Avodah Zarah. We have a whole Bavel has the whole passion in where they try to get everybody over Avodah Zarah. Hanani Mishal Azariah, Kahina. Anyone's familiar with Inyanim? Those are all Inyanim of shulton. Lefikach, he says, Yesh litein koach nafshi ala malchus rishon. The first malchus will be the one with koach nafshi. Ki malchus rishon hoyle chshivus memshala b'yaseh. It had the most chshivus memshala. As far as memshala goes, it was memshala. K'may she'omel of Daniel, like Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, Ant malcho melech mochaye. You are the king of kings. V'kach oma gamkin Daniel b'mara ha'shenis antu rosh de dahava. ולקח אמה וגפין דנשאר לו, הוא הנשא שהוא פרח בגויבק משיספאי. It was compared to a nesha because it rises to the top and it's shulton. וזהו כנגד החלק הנפשי שבודם שכוח משל. So that was the first malchus, was כנגד ממשלה. That came first to the world. We'll see another, the second paragraph. so that we can, the next piece so that we can get later on. For Haya Malchus Hashem Malchus Modai. The second Malchus was Modai. V'koyach gufni ba'adam, koyach pachus ma'rishin. That already is the physical part of the person. Physical part of the person is less dominant. It's active, but not like arrogance and greed and ambition. For instance, a person who is very greedy and ambitious and driven will not eat, will not sleep, will deny his physical self, and that, so it's a more powerful koyach. Take away that, and the person's koyaches are taiv and guf. The guf is always a chasa, who mekabel tamid, and it's always a mekabel. Maral says this in a lot of places. The guf's taivis are that it's missing something. In other words, a person who is taiv of the guf says, "I wish I'm hungry. I'm hungry. It's a koyach that feels itself to be a chasa always." Koyach of Memsholos is a builder. In other words, if I'll be able to dominate this and this and this, I'll be able to create something much bigger, much greater, much stronger. Malchus doesn't see itself as chasa as much as it can be shalit and do further. I saw a second animal which was like a bear. The Omru Beperek Asar Yuchsin, it says in Asar Yuchsin, Tani Reb Yosef, Elu Parasim, who's this bear? These are Parasim. Sheoichlim Veshoisim Kedoiv, they ate and drank like a bear. Musubolim Kedoiv, they're as heavy as a bear. Megadon Seya Kedoiv, they grow hair like a bear. The Einler Menucha Kedoiv, and they are they're always restless like a dove. A dove is physically, it's limbering, it's always looking to try to do something. It's not ambition, not the drive ambition, but it's the physicality. It's like somebody who's very physical. He can't sit in one place. He needs to do something. He needs to feel his body in action. By the way, also, a dove is a symbol for arayas. It says by Yosef, you know, chayecha ni megar lechas adove. There's a certain element of arayas in it. Pirish. They always want to swallow. Bear is always hungry. In other words, the last pasuk is that Chashverosh put a tax on all the countries. So what? I mean, like, what do we have out of it? His Malchus wasn't a way to run the world in his, like Avodah Zarah. Bavel wanted to run the world the way Bavel understood. Everybody should have Avodah Zarah. And he just wanted to tax everybody. He wanted to run the world so that he could fill up his own taiva. The animal told, "Kum achli basa sagi. Let's go eat a lot of meat." That everyone became poor during Ahasuerus' time. V'cholze sherotzo lemalis nafshim tavos ha'gufni. V'kashe yoda Haman inya Ahasuerus rotze gankin shimkali yisol bat kesef. When Haman understood it, he realized giving him money would be enough. Shezeo inya keach Ahasuerus ubozei yechasishon b'leas Yisrael. Umipnei keach Ahasuerus tamet chofetz of loya. That because Ahasuerus always wanted to keep swallowing money, he told Haman, "I'll give you the money. Not that I don't want your money. I can give it back to you. I have enough to give. But I want money. I want." It's not our union. It all belongs to Purim. So the side of the second Malchus is it's insatiable appetite. We spoke about this a while back on Shabbos and Mitzvah and Vayelech, that the side of Taiva is an appetite for the sake of an appetite. It's not that the person needs his food. He's always a glutton has an appetite that's insatiable. That's why he's a glutton. He's hungry, he's perpetually hungry. So the midah of the guf is that it's hungry, it knows no fill, and that's the malchus shni of paras. where basically all he tried to do was just to soak up whatever you could soak up. We'll see the next part is Malchus Yavam. We'll see tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. Thursday, obviously, we won't be here today. I think the last 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday of Hanukkah, I think we can learn again. Thursday, I won't be here. So, the Mitzvah Shem will talk tomorrow. We'll see next part, and then we can continue Tuesday and Wednesday.